Morning, everyone. Today, I'm going to be talking about what is the rate-limiting factor governing arsenic release from Mekong River Delta sediments. And so where does the arsenic come from? The arsenic originates in the Himalayas here, and these major river systems transport the arsenic-bearing sediment to these low-lying deltaic regions. And during the flood season, the arsenic sediment will be deposited and dispersed over the landscape and co-buried with organic matter that leads to anaerobic processes such as iron reduction that will lead to arsenic actually in the solution phase in the groundwater. And unfortunately, groundwater is a principal source of drinking water for millions of people in this region. And as more people switch from surface to groundwater, millions more will be affected. And so this is a picture of our field site. This is a scale bar 5 kilometers here. We have the Mekong River to the north and the Besok River to the south. And the capital Phnom Penh is slowly encroaching upon us from the northwest. And the reason why we work here in the Kandal province is one, the stratigraphy is a little bit simpler. The sediment profile is thinner, and also there's much less irrigation water pumping than we see in the Ganges Delta. And so we can actually trace the groundwater flow paths and monitor arsenic. And so this is a schematic showing this arsenic reduction reaction, the way in which arsenic enters the groundwater. And it is based upon a partial equilibrium model developed by Dika Postma and others, which basically states that the fermentative step of the organic matter decomposition is thought to be the rate-limiting step. And these fermentation products are thought to be in close equilibrium with the electron acceptor, or the iron oxides. And so as they are formed, they will soon donate their electrons to the iron oxides, releasing arsenic into solution. But overall, we can see that really what's going to govern the rate is the reactivity of these organic matter compounds, the nature of which we're really not sure of at this point, and also the reactivity of the iron oxides. And so for my research, what I'm really trying to do is to develop experimentally derived proxies for first, the reactivity of the organic matter, or in other words, its susceptibility to be oxidized when coupled to arsenic and iron reduction. And second, the microbial reducibility of the arsenic-bearing iron oxides coupled to organic matter decomposition. And I want to emphasize that I'm beginning these incubations in the field to try to get as close to in situ conditions as possible. And so this is an outline of my methods, and what I do is I start with anoxic stale groundwater medium, and it's buffered to pH 7.1. And I've applied a suite of treatments to these. First is a synthetic gertite, added at 3 different loadings, spanning 3 orders of magnitude, up to 3.5% iron-3 by mass relative to the mass of the sediment in the incubation vial. And also added aluminum substituted ferry hydrite at also a rate of 3.5% iron-3. And I should note that I also spiked these or pre-sorbed 30 milligrams of arsenic per kilogram of iron onto all my iron oxides. Moving down here, I also added 3 different levels of glucose, 0.1, 1, and 10 millimolar. And then I also implemented a lactate acetate ethanol treatment that supplies the same number of moles of carbon as the 10 millimolar glucose treatment. Moving further down here, we have glucose plus gertite and then glucose plus the aluminum substituted ferry hydrite. So basically what I'm doing is adding carbon alone, the iron oxide alone, and then carbon plus iron oxide. And then I have a control treatment with no additions. I performed each of these treatments in triplicate, And then a fourth replicate I spiked with a suite of three different antibiotics to serve as an abiotic control. The second step was to take these to the field, and I chose a site that is a seasonally saturated wetland, so it dries for part of the year, and based on some measurements and modeling results from Ben Kokar, Matt Polizzato, and Sean Benner, they show that currently we don't really see arsenic release at this site. And so I added 5 mils of fresh sediment to each vial while purging with nitrogen gas to try to maintain anaerobic conditions. I shook the samples and sampled them over time and measured ferrazine, or iron 2 by ferrazine. I speciated the arsenic with a sodium borohydride method. I measured arsenic and iron by ICPOES. That's inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectrometry. And then I measured alkalinity by titrating with 0.1 molar sulfuric acid. And so these are the results now. This is showing iron release as a function of time in some of these batch systems. And so you can see in the blue down here, the control and all three levels of Gehrtight showed no iron release as a function of time. And likewise, the 0.1 millimolar glucose treatment showed stimulated no iron reduction. However, as I increase the glucose concentration to 1 millimolar, you start to see iron release. Increasing up to 10 millimolar, we see more iron release occurring. And therefore, this suggests that the organic matter reactivity is what is governing iron release in these sediments. And on the other hand, there are reactive iron oxides present in this system that, if given a labile carbon source, will indeed release iron. And the data is very similar for the arsenic, and so for time constraints, I won't show that here. So arsenic release is the same story. Now, moving on to some of the other treatments I implemented, we'll start with alkalinity as a function of time, and this is in parts per million calcium carbonate. So again, the control stays about 200 parts per million calcium carbonate and constant over time. And the iron oxide alone treatments stays very low, close to the control or even below as a function of time. However, as I start to add glucose or glucose plus iron oxide, glucose plus iron oxide, you can see that alkalinity increases as I add those treatments. And also, the lactate acetate ethanol treatment really spiked up, the alkalinity spiked up before I can even take an initial time point. And so the alkalinity is increasing with carbon addition as the microbes are breaking down the carbon. Now, this is the same treatments. Instead of alkalinity, we're now looking at total iron as a function of time in solution. And we'll see that, again, no iron release in the control or in the iron oxide treatments alone. When I add lactate acid and ethanol, you start to see iron release happening. When I added glucose, increasing amounts of iron release happening, and then glucose plus iron oxides, we have the most iron release happening. And you can see it kind of leveling off after 10 days, and based on the alkalinity data, I think that's due to siderite precipitation in these vials. And one interesting note is that the lactate acid ethanol is below the glucose, and I think one reason for that, if you remember that the alkalinity and the lactate treatment spiked up immediately, so I think there was more time for siderite to nucleate and precipitate and perhaps limit the iron we see in solution. What also could be happening is the glucose could be stimulating fermenters such as Firmicutes that are actually directly leading to iron reduction themselves. So again, the story here is the organic matter reactivity seems to govern iron release. And now we'll move to arsenic. These are the same treatments, moving from iron to arsenic as a function of time. This is parts per billion now instead of parts per million. And you can see, again, in the control and iron oxide treatments alone, no arsenic release happening. However, when I added glucose at 10 millimolar or the lactate acid ethanol treatments, we see arsenic coming off into the solution phase. The difference between the arsenic and the iron data is that when I added glucose plus aluminum substituted ferrihydrate, glucose plus iron oxide, we see no iron release, where we actually saw most iron release, or we saw the most iron release in those treatments and no arsenic release here. And so I think what is happening is the glucose is still releasing arsenic, but these iron oxides, these added iron oxides, are providing additional binding sites that sequester the arsenic into back to the solid phase. And so just a summary and some conclusions for these sediments. First, when I added iron oxides alone, I saw no iron or arsenic release. When I added carbon at levels of 1 millimolar glucose or higher, I saw arsenic and iron release happening. And these results taken together suggest that the organic matter reactivity is what is limiting arsenic release. And on the other hand, there are reactive iron oxides present in these sediments such that if you add carbon, arsenic will be released. So if we step back to the site, if you remember, I mentioned that we don't currently see arsenic release happening here. So I think some implications of these results, if there is some land use change that causes increased carbon inputs to this area, such as installation of a pit where it would allow carbon to accumulate and anaerobic conditions to occur, we could see arsenic release where we currently don't see it. Then moving to this final point, when I added carbon plus iron oxides together, I saw iron release, yet the arsenic, I think, was sequestered by the additional iron oxides. And so I hope that these assays will lead to and can serve as accurate input of functions or parameters to reactive transport models that could help us to inform drinking water well placement, determine the vulnerability of clean wells, and assess the impact of land use change on groundwater arsenic levels. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge Resource Development International Cambodia. They kind of house us there while we do our research and collaborate, and also the Fendorf Group, Scott and Ben Kokar, for their help and my funding sources. Thank you very much.
We have time for a question. Well,
Sam?
Yes.
The question was, did I take soils from different depths? So what I showed here was all at a depth of 10 centimeters. I should have mentioned that. I'm not sure if I did. So this is all right at the surface, but I also looked down to 2.5 meters, and the story was the same. And I actually looked at two different sites, and I just showed one site here.